blind, and now you live together and you have to deal with career changes and finance changes, all the moving parts, like the mayhem that a situation like that can present. And these two are here to talk about it. Now, a quick update from the market. First and foremost, I hope everyone has voted. If you haven't, get your ass out there and get it done. Once this episode releases, there's very finite time. And by next week, we will know who the future president of the United States is. And with that, there's going to be changes. So I would tell you this, the next 3 to 6 months in the market, real estate market, stock market, all the things, let's just use one word and say interesting. And anyone out there that says it's perfectly predictable is incorrect. Another thing you should know about, just we're going in the holiday season, shopping. I read a stat today that 73% of consumers said they are slow shopping this year. It is a trend that is moving towards more mindful buying decisions as we're going into peak holiday season. People are planning in advance. They're using alternative areas and places to save money. They are buying proactively as opposed to reactively. And pay attention to my Instagram because I have a hack coming out that can show you how to save a bunch of money when you are shopping this holiday season. When you get to the recap, stay tuned because we are talking about some big health insurance things that have impacted my life. I think it's really important for everyone to hear. Whether you have an older parent or grandparent, or you're like me and you're in your 30s, there's some shit that happened to me, and you're going to hear that in the recap. That also connects to something everyone should know about. It's the Prenuvo scan. It's Prenuvo. Go to their website, and you can see where in the United States you can get a Prenuvo scan. It was the craziest thing. I did it. Now, it retails, we talk money here, of course, right? So you should know it retails at $2,500. But you go into an MRI machine and from your head to your toe, they scan for everything. They scan your nervous system, your respiratory system, your circulatory system, your endocrine system, your urinary system, your reproductive system, your digestive system, and your musculoskeletal system. And then each of them, it'll tell you the findings it found. For example, I'm on the app and I'm in the nervous system and I can look at my brain. There were no adverse findings in my brain. And there are about 30 different things in my brain that they scan for. When I click on those, I can actually see the scan. Now, if I go into my spine, I could see 3 minor findings. And in the minor findings, it'll show me exactly where in my spine there's a minor finding, what I should think about, what the level of it is, all the things. In this scan, I found out some interesting things. I found out that in my respiratory system, I have a lung nodule at 0.5 centimeters. So I have to keep an eye on that, make sure it doesn't grow. It should be benign, but if it does grow, we have some issues. If it doesn't, it was just from a lung infection. I found out from the scan that on my both of my kidneys, I have cysts and I know exactly the size of those cysts and they are both benign, which is good. I know that my knee has some inflation. I know that in my urinary system, that when it comes to everything regarding my bladder and my liver and prostate, everything looks good. I tell you all this because I am blown away from the information from my brain to literally my ankles. The Prenuvo scan has it all, and you would expect something like this to be an exorbitant amount that is unaffordable or unattainable. And while I understand $2,500 is a lot, to think about the fact that you can prevent the spread of something that could be much bigger is unbelievable. So I know this is a gift that I will be giving both of my parents for the holiday season. You guys should check it out, and I will make sure to put the Prenuvo link in our show notes. A little update for my personal life. I was back in Rochester last week with David. I went to a wellness retreat this week. It was unbelievable. Miraval, and it's in upstate New York, and then one in Arizona, and it's very focused on classes. So we did like breath work and therapy and a lot of internal work. It was such an unbelievable reset. It was everything I needed and more. Some of the biggest takeaways from the breathing is you should always be breathing through your nose. And I always thought breath work, I kind of just discredit. I'm like, oh, good, breath work. The breath work we did there changed my life. There was one type of breath work pretty intensely. Did it for 10 minutes to music. And all of a sudden, my face started getting tingly. My hands were getting tingly. And I just started crying. It was crazy from breath work. So anyway, check it out. I would highly recommend it. You could see all the classes you could take there. It was life-changing. It was life-changing. And then I got an invite to Heidi Klum's Halloween party. And typically with these things, I'm going to be honest with you, I was thinking about Kelsey Anderson's Trading Secret. We had her on where she was like, go to things by yourself. I always like to go with someone, but they only gave me an invite for one. And I went by myself and I had the best time. I had so much fun there. It was great. Stayed a few hours and went back home and I stayed with Evan over in Stanford. But it was just the costumes. Oh my God. It was, I don't know. I honestly can't put into words. The costumes I saw there were the best costumes I will ever, ever see in my life. I could tell you stories for the whole podcast. I'm looking at the time. You know what? I'll save those stories for another time. If you want to give us 5 stars in the reviews, give us 5 stars. If you want more Heidi Klum stories from her Halloween party, just let us know. Maybe we'll do a full episode on it because there was a lot of action there. And then this week, I'm really excited. I got asked for a very large company that is publicly traded to speak to their executive group at TikTok headquarters in New York this week. So that is on my radar. It's been, again, personally, again, if you do a whole episode, but just really trying to dig in and do a lot of work on myself. And just, it's just a lot. It's just a lot. It's just a lot. But we're getting there. Day by day, we're getting there. And yeah, I got to figure out what's next. I don't know what next is. It's a big question mark for me. There's nothing anymore tying me to Nashville, Tennessee. So I really got to figure out what I'm going to do and what the future looks like. I don't know. I don't know. As I put it together, I will let you guys know. Let's ring in the bell with Amy and Johnny. Welcome back to another episode of Trading Secrets. Today, we are joined by Love is Blind's newest successful love story and fan favorites, Johnny McIntyre and Amy Cortez. Johnny and Amy walked away from season 6 of Netflix's hit reality dating show as the only couple happily married. Now, after just surpassing their 1-year wedding anniversary on the show, Johnny and Amy are continuing to grow into their lives together as a married couple. During their time on the show, Johnny and Amy did not hold back on the tough conversations around physical intimacy and financial stability, two very important topics for any new couple, especially with Trading Secrets. So, how have things progressed over their first year together? What have they done to better themselves as a couple? What struggles have they run into? What are their goals, both personally and professionally moving forward? We are going to touch on it all. Johnny and Amy, thank you so much for being on Trading Secrets. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you, Jason. Happy
1 year. How does the last year, how's it been?
It's been wild. It's been kind of like a whirlwind of different things coming because there's been so much different change going on, but it's all like very positive. But we're basically, it's like, were we really planning for something like this?
Yeah.
And then how do we really make sure that we're capitalizing on it and making sure that we're going to be basically the best versions of ourselves while doing it too?
Yeah. Let's go chronologically back to once upon a time, Love is Blind finds you. Both you guys are extremely educated. You're doing well in your careers. Mm-hmm. And then Love is Blind comes your way. How did they find you?
So for me, it was kind of odd. They found me via LinkedIn.
LinkedIn?
So yes, LinkedIn.
Wow.
Very random.
That's insane.
I feel like it's impossible to know if you even are in a relationship when you're on LinkedIn, but they messaged me. I thought it was like a recruiter. So I messaged back and I was like, you know what? Why not? I'm free in the next 20 minutes. Let's hop on a quick call. And I'm like, oh, I thought this was like kind of a scam or like maybe not real, but like it was very real. And I didn't really know kind of what to expect from it. In my previous dating life before this, like it was working out good, but I was having trouble just kind of getting a little bit deeper. So that's what I thought Love is Blind was really going to help me show was just getting deeper with like those relationships.
Because professionally, you're IT tech sales, right? So you're working full time. You tell your employer you're going to go on a dating show. Was there any risk of losing your job then? Did you lose your job? Did you come back to it? What did it look like?
Initially, it was very positive because I had limited PTO. They said you can take off roughly the 3 weeks that you're going to be completely, you know, no phone, no connection to the outside world, and you can come back and have your job right back afterwards. Then as we shifted more towards filming, they basically said, hey, you know, you should probably quit like the company and then reapply for a job after it's all done.
Interesting.
So it was basically kind of like a little game internally of, do I really want to take this opportunity? Do I want to move forward with this? And if I do, what's kind of the next step for me professionally? Because it's not going to be aired for their year. So how am I going to basically pay my bills? And it was very just like, I don't know, kind of like an internal battle I was like facing myself. So I went back to my HR department. We were able to get a unpaid leave of absence while I was going to be on the show, which worked out perfectly.
We'll get into the current state later, but right now you film and then after the show, you go back to work.
Exactly.
Because the other thing too, is you guys don't actually know if your season will be picked up.
right? Mm-hmm. Or how long, right? Exactly. Once you finish filming, it might be 3 years. Mm-hmm. It might be picked up. They might not even showcase you even though you got married. So there's obviously a lot of risk in it as you're planning your career. So you take a leave of absence, you go back to your career. Before I go to you, Amy, we talk financial transparency here. Just for educational purposes, anybody that's looking at IT tech sales, how does the structure work of compensation?
For IT, basically like kind of SaaS sales is going to be, you get a base salary, and then normally your on-target earnings is going to be roughly double that.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So,
and let me take a shot at base salary. Base salary is going to be somewhere in the 75 to 90 range?
Probably, yeah. Okay. Just depending on like your market, if you're going to be the small to mid-size, the mid-size market, or like enterprise sales.
And that depends into what company size you're selling into. And you can do up to 2 times a base on compensation and commission.
Yes. Wow. But then you have people who are earning a lot more than that because they just exceed their commission plans.
Okay.
Some people in my company were making probably 3-4 times the amount too.
So you know some people in your company in IT sales are making like 7 figures.
Exactly.
Wow.
So
interesting.
And that's normally in other companies too. That's going to be more focused towards like cybersecurity or like cloud-based solutions.
Good to know. That's very educational. Mm-hmm. IT tech sales. If you're interested in making a transition, sounds like you can make a couple bucks there. Amy, we're going to you. Master's degree, University of South Carolina, focus in international business. You got that bachelor's degree at University of North Carolina at Charlotte, and you're an e-commerce retail specialist for the past 3 years. You tell them you're going on Love is Blind. What happens with the job?
So that's actually a funny story because I had applied to be a part of the show 6 months before filming. So before filming, I had applied in September of 2022. So my friends told me about the opportunity and I applied myself. Instead of being scouted, I actually applied for it. However, it took so long and you don't know like what life is going to look like. So I had planned trips and stuff. And so I was supposed to be gone for the duration of filming. So I wasn't going to do the show. A trip got canceled. And that was kind of what opened the gateways to me even partaking on the show. And what I did immediately was call my manager. And I was like, hey, sobbing, like, expect me at work next week because I'm not going to France anymore. And like, this is all happening. And then I'm also being told at the same time that I got chosen for the show, but I had told them no, because I was going to go on the trip and I was going to go to Japan. And like, I was just like rambling. And she was like, okay, Amy, like, let's take a step back.
Yeah.
And this was literally probably like a week and a half to 2 weeks right before filming. My company did have unlimited PTO and that was my favorite aspect of the job. But, you know, especially if it's 3 weeks, you have to make sure that you have that coverage. She was like, okay, let's take a step back. Let's see what we can do so that you can take on this opportunity. I'm going to talk to HR. And I was like super nervous. What am I putting myself into?
Of
like,
course.
This is so crazy. But no, like HR was able to make it happen for me. And they were so supportive. My job was absolutely supportive.
So you're working, your company's supportive, and similar to Johnny, you finish, you're married, and you go right back to work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just waiting to see what happens and when it gets aired. So you go through this crazy experience, you're married, you're going back to work. How long after you get married from filming do you find out that the show will air this spring?
Well, I think first things first too is that so basically the 3 weeks we had during filming was really going to be like no phone, no outside connection.
Of course.
As soon as we're done those 3 weeks though, we were still filming, but Amy right away had to go back to her job. Yeah. So her schedule was basically 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. of working the corporate job. Then 5 p.m. to like close to like 11 or 12 o'clock at midnight filming for the show. And that was basically 3 days out of like the week and then all weekends too.
And the thing is I actually like while filming, I had gotten promoted. And I didn't know. So I come back with a new fiance, living in a new place
and
with a new role and more responsibilities, which was a huge honor. But it was something that I wasn't expecting. So it was a lot to kind of acclimate to that. And I think we found out maybe like a couple months before, maybe like November, December. So maybe like 2 to 3 months before that the show was coming out in February.
Okay. Yeah. Talk to me about this. Yeah, I know you filmed for 3 weeks, but 8 days you get married. You two have been very open about the personal, professional, and financial aspects of your relationship.
Yeah.
The biggest question I have is, after 8 days, do you have enough time to even talk about your finances? Are you considering a prenup? Are you even given the chance to have those discussions?
Yeah.
Or do you just have to possibly, if you want to, do a postnup because it all happens so fast? No one probably in the world other than this show can relate to that speed, but they can relate to trying to have tough conversations that are sometimes pressed and the cans being kicked So I'm curious, what was your experience there?
It is scary because it's very fast. Luckily in the pods though, it's kind of staggered. So like day one, you're actually dating all the women for, I think it was about maybe like 15 minutes each. Yeah. Then that's 15 of them. Then the next day you're only seeing 8 of them and it goes to maybe like half hour long dates. So the next day it's only maybe like 6 of them and it's an hour long date each. So each day you're getting more and more time with them. So towards like the last couple of days, well, we actually decided that we were going to be, you know, just exclusive on day 5. And this was, we were probably at maybe like 3 hour long dates at this point.
Yeah.
So for day 5, day 6, day 7, we were having those like really deep conversations about, okay, well, let's talk about finances. Let's talk about, you know, really kind of crazy hypotheticals. What happens if, you know, something happens with your dad and yeah. we have to basically be the caretakers for her family? How are we going to balance that? And just like different things too entirely.
Yeah, I feel like we were getting super deep and obviously there's just not enough time, but I feel like judging the character and asking the right questions to judge the character will help you assess like how everything else is going to kind of play out.
Yeah.
Obviously, we talked about finances and we talked about kids and like hypotheticals and stuff like that. But I feel like coming into this experiment, if like we're both ready, because we're ready for that next phase in our life, but to like really test that is all about asking like the right questions and getting to know that person in depth. For example, I had asked him, what have you done to better yourself as a man? Like, do you read self-help books? Because I felt like I was doing my work to get to where I am and becoming the woman that I am. And I wanted my partner to match me. So I wanted to see how he answered that. Then he surprised me very much and like how he went about those answers. He talked about how he meditated, how he journaled, how he did read self-help books. He listed, you know, some out. And it was just like, I could relate to him so much at that level. And I feel like that taught me that, okay, he's open-minded. He wants to work on himself.
Yeah.
He's dedicated. Like it told me like certain qualities that would kind of play out into harder conversations. So when, you know, finances come to play, I feel like we might not meet in the same place at, in the beginning, but we could potentially meet in the middle because there's that open-mindedness.
It's such a hard place to step into.
Yeah.
And you don't even see each other too. And you're talking about these like in-depth conversations. So it's like, we're really trying to figure out like what the foundation is going to be like for the rest of our lives in this relationship.
Literally,
and that's, I think, what was really the biggest thing in those like 8 days in the pods was, is it going to be enough, like this foundation of, you know, talking, communicating, being open to really, you know, hearing what she's saying and trying to find a good middle ground to meet for compromise in certain situations. Can we do that in these 8 days?
Yeah.
And if so, okay, when we actually see each other in person and we actually start living together and start working together, how is it all going to really just transpire?
Correct. Yeah. Exactly. Well, I've talked to a lot of couples that have come off the show. I still have never heard one that got a prenup. Did you even, did the conversation even come up regarding prenup?
Did
I think it came up later on
because
we didn't really know exactly what to do around like that whole situation. And my sister and brother-in-law are both corporate lawyers and they're just saying that, hey, you guys should really probably think about this because it's not just basically me versus Amy or Amy versus Johnny.
No, no.
It's basically how are we going to really just kind of figure things out when it comes to the state versus us.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm pro prenup because one, of course, she's a step in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And two, you're exactly right, right? It's the state laws. Once you get married, y'all have a prenup. It's just the state laws. Do you want to customize them?
Yeah.
But I just have to imagine there's how could you have that conversation in that time period?
Yeah,
it's like, it feels like it's
so
like almost impossible to go to that level. But that's, I mean, the whole thing's fascinating. The show obviously crushed it this season. There was 907 million minutes of viewing time in the US. 78% came from that demo that every show is trying to capture, which is 18 to 49. And obviously that's had a big impact on both of your lives. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that I wanted to ask you guys about is now today, when you think about professional lives, like we talked about where you guys were, the show blows up, you get social media following, you're married, you're happily married. Mm. Where do you go from here in this crazy world? What has the professional world and navigation looked like from the day the season finished airing to now?
So it's really weird because, and Amy, I guess, do you want to go first with kind of like the way you decided to do like corporate life afterwards?
Yeah. So essentially, right when everything was about to come out, I was fighting for my life. Literally, I was going through all these physical challenges. I had like the worst chest pain. And then I was like going through other things. It was awful. And I think it was really the stress that I was dealing with.
After the show, when I was on, just because you're not, I don't know if you felt this, you're just not used to that attention,
no,
those
not
eyeballs.
At all.
It's so
And I actually just talked to Joey from The Bachelor about this too. There's so many physical things in your body that change from it. I dealt with a lot of those things too.
But that was before the show. I was like,
before
already,
it aired?
Yeah, yeah. No, before it aired, like because of my job. And like, I loved my job.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, I don't even want to put it on my job fully. It was just that there were so many new things happening in my life, changing all at once. I went from super single to very much married and then a promotion like at the same time. And it's just like so many changes in my life. And I, you know, I would say that I have awful anxiety. I feel like I've gotten better from it. I feel like that's one thing I've, you know, learned since the show came out is how to kind of better myself in that area. But anyways, I feel like I was struggling a lot at the end of last year, beginning of this year. And then with the show coming out, I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? Like how, I feel like I'm going to just combust right now. Yeah. I need to take a breather. And but at the same time, I'm such a workaholic.
Yeah.
But Johnny was like, you should really take a step back. Like I got us while the show comes out. And then maybe like you can go back into that space.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, honestly, why not? I thought long and hard about it because I was very back and forth. I was very passionate about what I did. But like at the same time, I knew that it could have affected me while balancing everything else.
Yeah.
So I made the decision to leave. I would have done a leave of absence, but unfortunately they didn't offer that at that moment. But they were very open to me reapplying if that, you know, ever came to be. So I left my corporate role.
Okay.
And so I've kind of been stepping into the influencing life since.
Yeah.
So it's fun.
Yeah, but it's really good. And you kind of have a knack for that too. Before, before we go into that, Johnny, talk to me, Amy, about what does it look like now? Is it where you expected it to be? Do you see the future and continuing to put all your energy towards it? If we fast forward to that decision, which was when, like March-ish, February, we're now in June. Talk to me a little bit about like where it stands today and what the vision is.
Yeah. So transparently, I didn't expect the show to boom as it did. I didn't think that there would be the opportunities that have come from it. Mm-hmm. I was just kind of like, I'll leave and then I'll go back.
Sure.
But if there are opportunities that come, then I'll tap into it and see what there is in that space. I'd like to say I'm a very creative person. I did study marketing and all that. So I do love the side of influencing and really tapping into that. At the same time, this is still kind of a new space. Like, I don't want to be like, I'm going to be doing this forever. Like, it would be cool. But I also want to be realistic, especially when there are, you know, in the future, when there are new responsibilities that come in. It's just like, I don't know how that will look like. I'm just kind of more focused in the present. But at the same time, I know that I have a great education under my belt. I have great work experience. So that if I end up doing corporate life again, I can definitely tap into that or maybe even try both. So it's just kind of like a question mark, but right now, enjoying the ride.
You got that like insurance plan too.
Yep.
Talk to me about this though. Are you on like the trajectory or have you earned more in this space than you could in your previous space?
Yes. So I definitely have earned more in this space than I have in the previous space. Mm. And at the same time, there's more flexibility. I mean, I love to travel.
Yeah.
That's one of the main reasons why I studied what I did. Mm-hmm. And so now getting to do it with the person that I love and having the flexibility to tend to my family. I mean, I have, other than my parents, my grandma and her two sisters that are, you know, elderly, live with my parents. And you know, being able to support my family and being there for them is so huge to me. So there's a lot of flexibility and like more income that comes from it. So
exactly.
Yeah.
John, I'm coming to you in a second. One thing I want to ask you though, is I don't want to make this assumption, but just looking at your resume and your master's and just your whole track, it's very traditional, just like mine was, right? As a result of that, I find that sometimes when you take a shot like you're taking, there's probably a lot of outside noise from very afar and possibly in your inner circle. Yeah. I'm only saying that because I dealt with it.
Mm-hmm.
Have you dealt with that at all in your inner circle, outside noise saying, what the hell are you doing? You got your master's, two great schools.
Yeah.
Why are you doing this? Like, have you dealt with that? And if so, how have you overcome it?
I feel like more so from my grandma, for example. She's very involved, so, but she's more traditional. I feel like my dad, now that he sees where I am, how happy I am, the fact that Johnny and I have such a great relationship, which is like the most important thing of all, and that, you know, we're doing well right now, he's so supportive of it. he was all about, you know, getting the education and following that traditional path. But I think he sees my happiness and he weighs that more. And I feel like my grandma just doesn't understand what influencing is or what that looks like. Mm-hmm. So she's just like, I don't understand. But I think she's also following that same path as my dad, where it's like, she sees that I'm happy and that's all that matters. But other than that, like everybody around me, like my close friends and the rest of my family have been super supportive in terms of, you know, following what I feel like is best for me intuitively. Good. But I feel like if anybody holds me back, it's myself, because I have told Johnny time and time again, like, what if I can do both? Like, there's a tie, because I feel like I did study so much to kind of go back to that corporate lifestyle. Like, it's kind of like, you know, I don't want to say it's a toxic relationship because my job wasn't bad, but it's just kind of like, you see like what better things you could do and you still kind of have that tie pulling you back. So I feel like that's what I kind of struggle with, but I don't know. I just want to do it all.
My only take on that would be if you do both, which of course you could do both. Yeah. You can do whatever you want to do. I think individually, each of those paths will suffer a little bit, right? So as opposed to being able to give 100% to one and accelerating, you'll be giving, you'll have to give 75% of what Amy could do. And so maybe that's an answer though. Maybe that works best for you. You got to figure that out. Yeah. Last question I got for you, and then I'm coming to you, Johnny, is in the small startup space, they call it burn rate, right? Like, how much cash do you have until your company goes out of business? Like, how many months can you support the operations? When you think about your path in this space, do you have an idea just about going back? Like, is it like, okay, I'm going to go back to corporate in 2 months, 3 months, six months, 12 months? Like, what does that burn rate look for?
Yeah, we actually have had that conversation. I feel like as of right now, we'll probably be good for the rest of the year. I feel like it's something that we'll consistently like reevaluate,
of course,
just to make sure that we're staying on top of and like having that communication. But I think right now we're just going to continue enjoying our marriage. We got married in such a fast paced process.
Yep.
And so we just kind of want to do anything and everything and really enjoy it. And so I feel like that does give us that flexibility in doing so. But I feel like it's something that we might, you know, reconsider next year and see like where we're standing, if we need to consider that as an option, and if we can keep doing what we're doing now.
So, okay, there's what the future path looks like, at least till the end of this year. All right, Johnny, you're in IT sales. You talked about the money of it. You get married. You go on the show. Today, we fast forward. The show is aired. You've had some success, some great success on social media. What does it look like today? What is the professional career outlook look like today? Are you still in IT sales?
So no. So actually, Amy left when the show was about to air. I decided I wanted to try to really kind of make it work and see if I can do that, you know, still work my normal job and still trying to be an influencer and really create content. Honestly, that's just like what you said, giving 75-75. It was very much that my attention wasn't on one full thing. I was always thinking about work when I was trying to create content. And then my focus was always on creating content when I was at work, and it just wasn't really working out too well. So I had a conversation with like my bosses, with my managers, like everybody else. And we came to the decision that, you know what, probably should take like a step back from this.
Yeah.
So I ended up closing out the rest of like my like larger deals I had for like that quarter. And I stepped away pretty recently. So it was about probably 3 weeks in total.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow. So this is like, this is recent news here.
Exactly.
Yeah. So like in my situation, I was kind of very similar. Like when the corporate world and the social media world come together, it can create a lot, especially like when you're selling it to your level, C-level executives and stuff, it could create a lot of touch points, let's say. Yeah. And so this was, for me, it was back in 2019. So it was even before there was more understanding of the space. And they pretty much, they're just like ultimate. Like you're done with that, or you're here and you're done with that. Was it somewhat similar to that scenario?
It was pretty similar.
Pretty
it got
similar,
to the point where, so my role was basically more of like a hybrid role. So I was in the office for like 2 days, working from home 3 days. And I feel like I could have kind of managed everything, but then travel came into play. Kind of like what I was mentioning before we started filming this. We had a lot of different trips planned, from going to Puerto Rico, to going to my brother's graduation, to going to LA to film certain things. And I got to the point when they said, hey, you can do this, but you can't do this. Even though it was, you know, I was seeing my number, I was doing well in my job, they wanted me to be more so kind of in the office opposed to doing my job outside of it.
Let me ask you this. Do you think it was control because they were focused on performance, or do you think there was a little bit of control because of envy of what you were doing?
I really can't say for sure.
Yeah, I know I can say it was certainly. It was 100% envy. It was like the more the opportunities came, they didn't put any expectations on the other people, the way they were putting them on me. And I know it had to do with a little bit of like, we're going to try and control this situation. Yeah. I don't know. That was my thing, but yeah. All right.
Yeah. Impossible to say for sure.
You know, what
other people are thinking in their mind if they don't actually say it.
But of course. All right.
Really, who knows?
All right. Give me this. You've been doing it your whole life. A lot of change. You're now 3 weeks into it.
Yeah.
Give me one professional high and professional low since making that decision.
So one professional high has just been the work-life balance, I would say.
Okay.
It's very easy to do things kind of on your own schedule when you're just going to be content creating. Mm-hmm. So you're allowed to take trips. You're allowed to visit family. You're allowed to work on Saturdays and Sundays, opposed to Monday at 9 a.m. You're logged in for a 9 a.m. meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot more flexibility with that. And that's something that I really like. And ultimately, I don't know if I'm going to be, and this might be a question for later on too, but ultimately, I'd love to be able to go back to some sort of selling capacity.
Okay.
But at the same point, this lifestyle I'm seeing right now is something that I would love to have as like a parent when I'm older. So I can actually be there for my kids. If the kids have a soccer game or a baseball game or wrestling match, I can actually go there. I can be a coach while still being able to provide for my family financially because I am still working in some capacity.
Yep, exactly.
So that's, I think, is probably the biggest high for me from stepping away and actually being able to do content creation. The low is more so kind of getting out of that mindset of I need to be busy 24/7. I feel like I'm still kind of in that mindset. And I feel like when it comes to like the corporate world, you have to be doing what you're doing 24/7. You have to be plugged in, grinding right away. And you can have a little more of a balance of maybe taking things for yourself and maybe taking a second to really kind of gather your thoughts before going into the next thing.
Interesting. So you think when you're in that corporate grind, it was a lot of like checkboxing? And now that you're in this new space, it's like sometimes you don't feel as accomplished because you're not checkboxing. But in reality, you're actually giving yourself more space to like think with intent, like checking those corporate boxes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of like, you get the anxiety that, you could be doing more, especially in sales. It's like you could be making a couple extra calls. You could be doing something else that goes above and beyond to set yourself apart from somebody else.
Yep.
But if you're not doing that, is it really going to be that negative in this space?
Okay.
Because in sales, it might be, but in this space, it might not necessarily, or it might just not be necessary.
Okay. We talked about Amy and what your thought process was with the burn rate. Is yours similar? Are you on the same page with you'll give it a shot till the end of the year for sure and maybe a full year? Or is there a different timetable for you?
So right now, it's definitely going to be give it till the end of the year.
Okay.
So December is going to be when we really have that hard decision of, what do we want to move forward? Do we want to continue this? Do we want to maybe change and shift focuses? Do I might want to switch to another career path too? Whether it be going back into software sales, going into IT sales, going into maybe some more flexible, like even real estate too.
Yep.
Because I do like selling. I do like meeting people and so working with them. But at the same point, I do like this flexibility to have right now. So maybe a different capacity. But at least until the end of the year, we do want to give this a shot and really just bet on ourselves and see how far we can take this.
Okay.
And then from there, really just kind of figure out what we're going to do next.
Cool. This is a question for, I know, my listening audience. They'll say, okay, it's amazing. I love what they're doing. I'm excited about it. I'm inspired by it. What about benefits? You guys had all these benefits with big corporate. How do you guys have benefits today? What does it look like? What'd you do?
So I think it was when the show first came out, we actually started working with our talent company, Rewired. I did have a call with you right away.
Yeah.
And it was really going to be focused around benefits as far as, hey, how do we actually get health insurance? How do we get vision, dental?
I got to be honest. Yeah. I swear, obviously, we have talked before. Yeah. You work at Rewired. There's a lot of conversations. Like I forgot about that until I just brought that up. Swear to God. Now it's like all coming back to me. Because that was like, that was a long time ago.
It was really the first conversation.
Like 4 or 5 months ago. I forgot about that. That was the first, because you reached out to Megan about that. And that was, like with everything in my body, I totally forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what did you end up doing?
So we ended up going basically two different paths. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I went with the kind of the route that you went down originally. Yeah. So I had the United Healthcare
Golden Plan. Yeah.
So I have that one. I actually just got enrolled in it about a week ago.
Nice.
So haven't used it yet, which is really great.
Cool.
But knock on wood, exactly.
You're good.
But that's what I really started doing with that. And then that's really gonna be healthcare focus. As far as retirement, we've met with a bunch of like financial planners around that to really help out with what should we continue to contribute while we're still paying our bills, while we're still trying to really figure out what commission or just what we're gonna be making in this space is in like as a whole.
Yeah.
So we meet with them to discuss like the retirement benefits and the retirement planning. And then also just different people like just kind of like a CPA or like a, just to kind of set up like everything as far as like a business expense goes.
Okay, cool. I love it. So you went with the golden rule. Guys, with a recap, I'll break down all the different insurance options if you decide to become self-employed. Amy, I'm curious though, you said it's different. What did you end up doing?
Yeah, so I ended up going with Blue Cross, Blue Shield Advantage, just because I have health condition. I stay struggling, unfortunately. Yeah. He's more of a healthy boy and he barely goes to the doctor, but I need a little bit, I needed something more that could offer a little bit more. So that's kind of the route I went on.
So talk to me. I know they're going to ask. Money Mafia, you already said it. Pricier. Mm. Give me how much you pay per month for your insurances.
So right now, I think I'm paying about $200 for everything. So it's going to be for medical, for vision, for dental. Correct. And that's really going to be it right now.
Yep, that is, that is exactly. I think I was paying with the golden rails, paying like $175 or so.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what I'm currently paying after Amy. Amy, what are you, what are you paying?
So mine is at, I believe, $372
Like that. So it's so bang on.
Yeah, $344 Self-care and then $30 for
that. So I'll tell you guys my story in the recap, but I was on the golden rule. I then had to, I got kicked out of the golden rule. I did a, I'll tell the full story in the recap, but essentially I did a proactive health exam for preventative. That just, one of my friend's fathers had a heart scare. And I said, what? And he's 74. He was worked in healthcare. So it was one thing you would have done differently, because he had a quadruple bypass. Like he should have died. It was four arteries are blocked.
Yeah.
And he's like, this is the thing I would have done. I would have got this scan. I go to get that scan. I had a little bit of a hiccup in it. And then Golden Rule kicked me out. So I had to go to Affordable Care Act because I got kicked out of Golden Rule. And now I pay $375 too. But I'll tell you all the specifics in the recap. So more to come on that. But I know people are fascinated with that. Now that we know everywhere you're at professionally, financially, and where you're at, this is what we got to talk about. It's a big thing that people listen, and you guys have talked about it on your social media and you've talked about it on TV. What's next in a relationship based on what you guys have talked about, possibly creating a family. But with family and children, there becomes a lot of things that you want to achieve personally and financially. Big discussion topics for each of you. And let's just go back to Love is Blind. There was, you know, on TV, there was you guys talking about like the whole idea of even being intimate because you wanted to make sure you were personally and professionally and financially aligned. Let's first start there. Talk to me about that thought process when you were holding off on intimacy because you wanted to make sure the foundation was there before even taking a chance at that. I think that also connects to preparing professionally and financially as well, as you think about kids.
Yeah. I feel like that thought process kind of, like the whole conversation initiated because we were on like opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of our life experiences and like where we kind of stood at that moment. So when we talked about it and we were just like, what if something happens? We were just trying to like cover all the bases. I feel like we are very much overthinkers
and so planners, which is so opposite from the most people come on the show. It's total opposite.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. So I think the big thing that really got to like me though is the fact that it was just very fast paced.
Yeah.
And oh, it's
true.
And I'm like, we don't need another.
Like we expedited the dating process, expediting the, you know, being a fiance like space. And then we got married right away.
Yeah.
The last thing I want to do was just expedite the next process and just start
here comes
popping
again.
Out kids. It's like, that is just very, very fast. So I'm just not comfortable right there. Yeah.
And I mean, neither was I. And I feel like we both align on our timeline on when we wanted to have kids, how many kids, like we aligned on that.
Yeah.
But we talked about like the what if and like me not being on birth control did raise that risk. So it was just an important conversation to have and be cautious around.
Yeah. But I think more so like that conversation really sparked that, how are we going to start having these actual difficult conversations in the future?
Yeah.
And kind of going back to like what I said before, like leaving that foundation of, you know, when we're just starting to talk, how are we going to be having these conversations? Yeah. Is it going to be very much, no, I'm right, you're wrong, like that's it? Or is it going to be, hey, let's actually figure out why you're thinking this way or why I'm thinking this way?
Yeah.
And kind of dive deeper into, okay, well, you know, growing up, this was the expectation versus this was the expectation.
Sure.
This led us to thinking this way. So as a couple, we can, you know, again, meet in the middle in a certain kind of, you know, middle ground.
Yeah. A very, very, very mature approach. I mean, when I wrote my book, Talk Money to Me, one of the big stats was 3/4 of relationships deal with money tension issues and their material tension issues. And half of those, over half of them, have decreased intimacy because of money issues. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting that you guys kind of reverse engineered it in the fact like, hey, let's proceed with caution to make sure everything is aligned first.
Yeah.
That is extremely mature. It's very intelligent. And it's obviously it works for both you two. So let me ask you this then. What, when you have these financial conversations, because you guys are doing them at such a fast speed compared to all Americans statistically, where has the biggest disconnect come when you're, because it's hard to step in these, because when you step into them, you're going to disagree. That's why it's hard to step into them. Where has been like the biggest disconnect with the financial discussions?
Is it spending?
Is it earning? Is it like the idea? Like, what is it though specifically that you've identified?
I feel like initially it was just more so, I mean, he studied finance. That was like his major, like that's his thing, which I absolutely loved because I feel like that wasn't my strong suit. You know, I had graduated grad school and then just was starting out my career and my life. So it was just a lot of new territory for me. You know, I had my savings account, but you know, I didn't know about like high yields. I didn't know about investing. Like I hadn't like really dove into that. So I feel like my thing was like, I like to live more in the present. And like, I didn't really think much about the future, but I know that there's an importance in the future, but I feel like I gave more importance to the present. Whereas he was more so focused in the future and not so focused in the present. So I feel like that's where we were kind of very much opposite. But we did meet in the middle to create that balance. And I feel like, you know, that's something that we did have consistent conversations about. And I feel like to this day, it has helped us in both ways. I feel like I've learned so much from him and like from the resources that we've seeked. But he's also like been able to live more in the present and like have fun and all that.
And really enjoy myself. So I think I'm hearing, tell me if I'm wrong, but I think I'm hearing you're maybe more of a spender and you're more of a saver. Is that correct? Sure. So then just getting that on the same playing field. I always say like, we associate spenders immediately with negative connotation or savers with great connotation. And there's pluses and minuses to both. You nailed one of them. Savers sometimes have a tough time like enjoying the resources that they've earned because they're worried about it, right? That's typically where I am. But spenders also have a ton of great qualities. They could see opportunities and capture them. They probably have higher risk tolerance, which means that they'll be able to probably earn more on riskier things that they do with their money. So like there's, it doesn't mean one's right or wrong. I think it's finding the compromise and going and figuring that out. I love it though.
And I feel like it's also like growing up, we were definitely both rooted like different financial kind of like beliefs. As far as like with me, it was very much every penny you make, save at least a little bit of it. Versus like other aspects might be, hey, like I have this now, like I want to spend on it right now too.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I mean, even with my family, my dad was also very much of a huge saver, but also like, you know, being that provider in the family. And so I feel like we both came from lower economic, you know, you know, backgrounds. And I feel like with that, it can either go either way. And I feel like that's exactly what happened. So with him, he kind of adapted that belief system. And I also, I didn't. I just was like, I want to live my life because I was so sheltered. And I was like, I'm going to spend all this and do all this. But, you know, I felt like us, you know, being together really helped us learn so much in so many different aspects and kind of meet in the middle.
Okay, cool. Talk to me about tactics. Have you, are there any specific tactics that you've implemented? Have you created a joint account? Do you review financials once a month? Do you like tactically do anything that has been very helpful or that's worked?
So the big thing is that we did start doing a more like a joint like kind of business account. So as as content creation goes, everything is kind of funneled into that account.
That's
And that's basically how we know kind of what we're making, what we have for, you know, just the month or like, you know, up to this point right now. From there, we have kind of like our, you know, business expenses and also like our personal expenses. So we take a certain amount each month towards like our personal expenses. And that's, hey, honestly, get whatever you want to get. I could care less about exactly what you're picking out or what you're choosing.
But
you get whatever you want to get. Treat yourself to that one. And I'll do the exact same thing on my end too.
That's brilliant. So you guys have the business pool. The income goes in. And then from the income, you'll decide how much you could do with it personally. And you just do whatever the hell you want to do. Do your
thing. But also not to that extent. Like we also will put a good amount of money in savings.
And you'll save it too. Like, you know, I think it's, you know what else I love too? Is it's not, you're eliminating this whole shame and guilt of where you're spending your money. It's more like, hey, let's make it together. And then what we have and you want to do, if your priority with spending this is X, A, B, and C, go do that. Like that doesn't mean it's my priority, but it makes you happy. So I think that's a great system.
I feel like growing up too, I did see other families that were very much like, the husband's kind of a hawk on the wife and like, oh, why'd you buy this? Why'd you buy that? Or vice versa.
Or vice versa, yeah.
So it's like, let's not even do that. Yeah. If you really want this, then you do.
It's a, like, well, I can't stand when a buddy of mine is like, ah, oh, she's got 1,500 Amazon packages that show. Hey, asshole, I just saw you bet $2,000 on a game, okay? And you lost it. So the point is, it doesn't mean that one's right or wrong. Well, it does based on the amount of stuff. But if that's what makes her happy and that's her number one priority, let her do that. And if gambling is your form of entertainment, your number one, whatever it might be, you and then, you know, the other areas where it's lower on the priority list, assuming you can afford it all, cut there. But like, I think the judging, weaponizing, shaming,
it just
creates resentment.
Exactly.
And then we know with the money and love game, the resentment decreases intimacy, decreases connection, and like it leads to like
that's
divorce.
The key word. And I feel like that's something that we talk about all the time is like, how can we eliminate resentment buildup in the future?
Yeah.
And it's by like having open and honest conversations, not letting things get like swept under the rug.
Yeah.
And just like that, like in terms of finances, like allowing us to be us as individuals, because you know, my personality is I like, you know, the good things of life.
We are very similar in a lot of ways, but we're also very different in a lot of ways too. And I don't want to say, oh no, like your way is right or wrong. I want you to be your own person. We are together because we are good together, but we're only good together because I am Johnny and she is Amy. If we were just lumped together, we probably wouldn't be very good together.
You guys are going to have to write a love and money book. I mean, you got joint accounts, you got a spending plan, you talk about it, you know it, you understand each other's differences. Yeah. It's quite impressive. All right, I want to go into this transition. Let's talk a little bit about Netflix. We love Netflix. We love their shows. We love their talent. I'm curious though, with The Bachelor, if you can, I don't know if you can share this or not. I don't think it's anything that you couldn't share, but with The Bachelor, sometimes people come on and they'll pay for your ring or they'll help with the wedding or things like that. Has there been anything like that? Like, does Netflix help out with the rings or the wedding planning or anything like that when it comes to finances and your personal lives now that you're married because of the show? What's it look like?
So production was very good with basically kind of giving us all the resources that we needed to essentially get married. So the cost for the ring, that was covered. They obviously provided the ring to us too, which is really, really nice.
That's awesome.
The wedding also covered too. Wedding planning, they were able to just basically kind of get what our thoughts were on this, like what kind of style we wanted. And they're able to basically do that for us.
Yeah, so, they kind of just made it into reality because I feel like we were so busy with balancing everything out that we didn't really give as much time as I would have wanted. And thank God it came out like as it did. But like, I feel like we didn't give it too much thought as to like what a wedding, like I hadn't even thought about like how to plan a wedding before that. So it was just like so much new stuff for us all at once. But I feel like we just kind of talked about what we liked, the aesthetic that we liked, and we and they brought it into fruition. They did an incredible job. Yeah. So
I love, you know what? Because there's so many people, I mean, listen, you're given an opportunity through a show and then it creates so much opportunity that you might be able to leave your jobs and create a different direction. And then so many individuals leave the shows and then try and point the finger at the shows and beat them up. And it's so great to hear like that they help you with all that financially, planning wise, the time commitment, et cetera. That is, that's awesome. All right, go Netflix, go Love is Blind. Do you see a future in TV, Netflix, reality TV? What does it look like? Give me odds here. We talk numbers here. Give me the percentage that we might see on another reality show in some capacity.
I'd say a probably solid 20%.
20%? Okay, what kind of show would it be if you want?
If it was, it'd have to be some sort of like a challenge type of show.
Yeah, well, certainly would be a dating show.
Definitely not a dating show. I feel like we are, check that box off, working successfully, so.
Oh, God.
But it'd have to be something like that. But the way that I see it is that it was very fun, it was very cool, but I feel like you leave a lot up to chance. And I don't know, I kind of like to be in control of certain things.
Yeah.
So that's why it's very kind of like lower on the spectrum right now as far as if put out content, like I want to be able to see the content before it comes out.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've rolled the dice enough.
Yes.
The gambles
are done. And I got extremely lucky. Like it worked out absolutely perfectly for us. So we want to kind of come out as winners as opposed to like going back in and then see what happens afterwards.
I know you guys have talked a lot about buying a house and real estate, definitely staying in Charlotte.
For the foreseeable future,
Okay.
Yeah. At least for the next like 3 years. I feel like, we'll see once.
Amy's family is still located here. Yeah. My family is spread out across like Maine, New Hampshire, now Texas as well. So it's basically, we have family here. Why not stick by it? Because if not, it's okay. We go to either somewhere where we're going to be completely isolated or by half of my family when it could be Amy's whole family.
you guys are making it tough to find holes. I'm like, where are the holes? Well, I want your honesty here. I'm going to say a couple right. numbers, and I want you to just tell me if you know the numbers about each other. Okay? All just right. be honest, though. Do you know one another's credit score? Around?
Literally, it's funny because I just checked my credit.
I found a hole. I found a hole. What is it? Give me a roundabout.
Wait, do you want me to guess first?
Yeah, guess first. Guess first. Usually I'll have like the pad and paper we can write down, but I just came from the flight. So take a shot. This is the honesty policy.
I want to say 720, 715, somewhere in that kind of range.
I think it was like 740.
740? Oh,
okay. A little higher. Not a big deal.
Let's go.
All right. Take a shot at Johnny's.
God, I didn't see. This is something that we need
I
to
know.
Talk
this was.
I found a hole, baby. I did my job after an hour.
I think I'm going to guess maybe like 758.
Wow. Exact number two. No, it took a hit. So I'm sitting at about 7:30 right now.
Okay. You know what's really good? It's last time we did this on the show, Credit Karma came in and did sponsor.
Oh, God.
Is working
coming?
On sponsorship. No. So yeah, they got a deal from that. So while we're on it, if you don't mind sharing just because someone could learn from it, what happened that created a hit on their credit?
So basically it was, we've did a lot of travel and some of it was covered, but others of it wasn't. So basically it all went on the credit card. That went up a lot, and now I'm in the process of basically paying it down.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. So that's all right, really there you go. Let me ask you this. Do you know one another's around annual spend?
Oh, I don't know.
If you had to guess, or monthly spend if you had to guess.
Monthly spend might be a little bit easier.
Yeah, monthly. You spend a lot. I'm like,
because I'm buying you, I'm buying you stuff.
Let's play the game. What do you think? Give it, and again, this is approximation. They're not getting technical. Approximation. How much a month you think?
I would say maybe like close to 6K.
What do you say?
I'd say it's pretty accurate.
Okay, yeah. Let's go. Amy?
I was going to say for Amy, it was probably going to be around maybe 5 to 6.
No.
Less or more?
I feel like less. Yeah. I would say maybe 3.
Good for and you said you were the spender. This is some bullshit here.
Listen,
when it comes to dinners, it's here you go. Here, use my car. We're not gonna use Amy's right now. And that kind of adds up a little bit.
Well, you're gonna have to start using that joint business card.
Yeah, no.
It's called business dinner, right?
That's exactly what it is now.
I love it. All right. Well, we did find at least one or two holes financially because it seems like everything has been perfect. Let's end with this one because it's a fun one.
Yeah.
What do you think there's one thing that Johnny overspends on? And unless Johnny goes broke, he's gonna continue. You to overspend on it. What do you think the answer is? Then Johnny, let's go to what the answer is.
So sometimes he does get impulsive. What just buy like things for the house, but it's also like nothing crazy.
What is he overspend on?
I want to say dinners, but that's because it's me. I'm the problem.
Dinners. What do you overspend on? Unless you're broke, you're gonna keep spending on it. What's the answer?
It's just food in general. Food? Like I love going to dinners. Yeah. I love just like having a full fridge.
Yeah.
And just like
food in general.
What are the options I can have tonight? Okay, we can cook this tonight. Yeah. We can do that tonight. We can do whatever. Like
I respect
that's what makes
that.
It easier.
Are you good cook? Good.
So my little sister, ironically enough, my little sister posted a Snapchat that I took probably about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I was trying to cook rice.
Okay.
And it turned into just like a weight. So I was able to like pick the rice.
Like a paperweight?
No. It was like the 3 pound like weight of just rice that was soft. And like you can like drop it on the counter. It didn't move. It didn't spread apart. Oh, it didn't break. It was just
a
solid.
Brick. How much butter did you put in there?
I guess not enough. Not
enough
too much.
For way too much. Are you a good cook?
I'd like to think I am, baby.
Oh, okay.
Her grandma, her mom, and her aunts taught her very well. So as far
amazing.
As Puerto Rican food goes, she's really good at it.
No, it's so funny because the whole like that was just white rice. And I remember the beginning of our relationship. I made
bad.
Just white. I mean, I'm like, it's the most basic thing.
Yeah,
and he was like, wow, this rice is like the best I've ever had.
What'd you put in this? Like,
is that great idea? Let's go to the aisle. I'm in. Sold. All right. Last one we'll do. Got to go to Amy. What's one thing you think she overspends on? Unless she's completely broke, she'll keep spending on it. What do you think it is?
Oh, skincare. 100% skincare.
Oh, actually, yeah.
Skincare, that's, a million percent.
What were you going to say it was?
I was going to say traveling.
Traveling.
I mean,
even like,
too, yeah,
you know, like we'll do our couples things, but I love going out with the girls too. So
I'm
like, if they're ready to go somewhere, here's my card. I'm putting my money down. But
you got to have that girl time.
Yeah.
I
would say, yeah, traveling and skincare, like
I think skincare, because I feel like every day I come back, there's always like either an Ulta bag or a Sephora bag, and like it's always there. And it's like, oh, what's this? This is a different size bag than yesterday. It's like this one's like this big, this one's like this big. Like it's always something different.
But I put him on.
There you go. Oh, you're on the seat. Yeah, both you guys, great skin. So you know what? There's benefits to that spend. All right. Well, let's wrap with your trading secret. Can't learn it from a professor. Can't learn it from a TikTok or YouTube tutorial. Only from your life experience. It could be a financial tip, professional tip, or personal tip. Who wants to give their trading secret first?
We'll probably go first.
All right. Johnny, give us a trading secret.
I feel like the biggest thing is like when you're feeling comfortable, that's probably the best time to make a move and do something different. Because it's very easy to stay in the same place year over year and just stay in that same mindset. So it's best to take a chance on yourself and do something that might be out of the box because you really never know how well it's going to work out.
I love that. I love it. And also with tough, I think a lot of what you've done too is stepped into tough conversations. And I think it's tough to do that. But when you do step into those, it could be so preventative of tough situations down the road, which is something you've clearly done. All right, Amy, well, one trading secret. What can you leave us with?
It's so cliche, but I would say follow your intuition and your gut and just trust where it'll guide you. I feel like I'm very happy where I am right now. I'm glad I took that risk, but it's one of those things that it could change in the future and my intuition might lead me somewhere else. So it just kind of all comes down to like serendipity and like what comes across your path and what to take on. So
yeah. And I think anyone can relate to questioning your intuition because of other people's perspective or judgment, especially on social media, but in all areas.
Yeah.
And so trusting that is huge and it's everything. All right. Well, if people want to find more of Amy and Johnny, where can they find everything you guys got going on?
Yeah, Instagram.
Instagram's really the main one. So you can follow me at Johnny_McIntyre because apparently there is a Johnny_McIntyre already.
Yeah, don't screw that up. Two underscores. Don't give that guy a follow. Okay. And are you on TikTok as well?
TikTok as well. Cool. I'm not very present on TikTok, but I'm trying to start making a lot more content on TikTok.
And we know if you want to get a hold of Johnny, just go to his LinkedIn.
He's also on Snapchat.
Oh, and Snapchat too. Yeah.
Snapchat too. We got to figure out how to use Snapchat.
Yeah, I had it and I deleted it. It's been fun.
We had one person come on the show who at 18 in 5 weeks made over $1 million on Snapchat.
That's crazy.
18 years old. That's crazy. Where can people find you, Amy?
So Instagram is Amy Tiffany with one Y and then TikTok is Amy Tiffany with two Ys.
Ooh, you guys are keeping people guessing with these at handles. I love it. We'll give Amy and Johnny a follow. We're going to have to do a follow-up in a year from now to see if you're back in the corporate grind or still doing your entrepreneurial thing. We're excited to see.
Who knows?
But thank you for trading all the secrets and coming on today.
Thank you so much, Jason. I appreciate it.
Ding, ding, ding. We are closing the bell with the one and only The Curious Canadian. We are talking all things Love is Blind. We know that Love is Blind season 7 is out right now. And generally, it's mixed reviews out there. A lot of critics are saying that this could be the potential decline of the show because of the show's authenticity. We know, right? Look at The Bachelor. It's been around, I don't know, 24 years. And of course, the biggest thing that's always been said for the right reasons. I think we're starting to question right now, is Love is Blind, are those people in it for the right reasons? Especially when we saw the massive, massive success of last season's show. I mean, you had some serious stars on there making serious bucks. But David, we got Amy and Johnny on here. Beautiful, lovely couple. Very well-spoken, very articulate. Almost every perfect answer for two perfect people. What are you thinking, David?
Well, I'm thinking a lot of things. Let me touch on the first thing that you talked about, Love is Blind season 7. The first season of Love is Blind, I have never watched. And I know that you already said to me before we hopped on, Jay, he said, what use am I to you if The Curious Canadian has fallen off his reality TV? But you know what? Whether it wasn't hyped enough, whether I didn't see it on my socials enough, I haven't been gravitated to watch this season. So I'm curious from your point of view, how the ratings are. I just wonder, am I getting over the hill? Am I getting out of the game? Or is this a consensus amongst a lot of people here about season 7? The first off, the locations in Washington, D.C., you can't find a more boring location to me than Washington, D.C. to get excited about seeing people in. But I digress. I can see your brain work, and I think you're doing your ratings thing. So let me talk about Amy and Johnny. I watched their season. I loved them. I thought they were great. I actually think that Johnny reminds me a lot of our buddy Hawk. He's got the right things to say. He talks about his work the same way that Hawk talks about his work. He's very on point with the words. He's very professional. And they're a great couple. Dare I say, Jay, dare I say, too perfect of a couple? I mean, these guys were zinging and zanging. They were yinging and yanging. They were finishing each other's sentences. You know, the only thing that they didn't know was their credit scores opposed from each other, and they were about 10 off. So that was my take. I mean, they seemed to have this thing down pat. They seemed to be in it for the right reasons. They were authentic on the show. It came off authentic on the podcast. You were in the room with them. I wasn't. Did you get that same feel?
Oh, they're great. I mean, honestly, they were great. They were very sweet, very good. Almost, I agree with you. Almost like, I almost want to be like, come on, give me something here. Like, this is literally just perfect out like, here. But
he doesn't brush his teeth before he goes to bed at night. Or maybe he only like, you know, he only makes his bed, but not that well. Like, I need something.
Yeah, like we're talking about like, I don't know, who's picking up the clothes off the floor at worst case scenario here. So I'm just,
yeah, who
like,
doesn't do the dishes?
But they're cute. They're adorable. And it was fun to talk to them because they're very smart people. You know, it's interesting. I'm reading something right now in Variety. It said Love is Blind has once again returned to the Nielsen ratings streaming top 10. The series redebuted in third place with 1.1 billion minutes watched from September 30th to October 6th, during which was the first six episodes of season seven that were available for the first 5 days. So the first 5 days, Love is Blind was crushing it. But then when I go and look up, David, about the reunion and what just happened, right? I'm seeing something on Screen Rant right now, which like Screen Rant, whatever, you know, take the source for what it is. But I'm convinced Love is Blind season seven's reunion was the worst yet. The show is failing after unsuccessful seasons. So when they're talking about failing, I think they're referring to the actual relationships. But it looks like there's a lot of critics out there saying that as this season went on, it just got worse and worse. But, you know, David, let's take it back from Love is Blind to Amy and Johnny. Anything specific in this episode that I asked you to bring up or you want to talk through?
Yeah, you got this insurance story that you were really eager to tell the people. It seemed like you were going to dig into a little bit of detail on the episode. And you said, let me wait. This sounds like a recap thing. So I don't know anything about the story. You're going to tell it. I'm going to react. We're going to go from there.
I'm glad you brought this one up, David. I'll tell you what. This is the craziest story probably in my life. Truly.
Wow.
So my good friend's father gets a quadruple bypass. We're sitting together after he makes it out and said, tell me the story. He said, I woke, he's 74 and he wakes up in the middle of the night and he's feeling a little out of breath. And his wife said to him, does it feel like an elephant's on your chest? And he said to his wife, no, but it feels like maybe a baby elephant. 3:30 in the morning. Now I want everyone right now to think about 3:30 in the morning. You feel like a baby elephant's on your chest at 74. What are you going to do? Probably go back to bed, right? Like, oh, I'll get it off. His wife says, no, we're going to the hospital. They go to the hospital. While he's sitting there in the ER, not knowing what's going on, they're literally telling him his body's having a heart attack. He has to immediately be rushed into surgery. Blockages everywhere. Quadruple bypass. The doctor said to him, if you went to bed that night, you wouldn't have woken up. Blown away. So I said to him, I said, okay, there's a lot of learning lessons here. There's so much to learn. We talked for a while, but I said, what is one thing if you're my age or if I talk to my parents who are in their 60s, like what is one thing they could do to maybe prevent this given the fact that you didn't see this coming? He said, there's a bunch, but I'm going to give you one. Go get your calcium score. Now, your calcium, and for my doctors out there, I apologize if this is off a little bit. This is a very non-doctor description. But think about your blood vessels, right? Like your blood vessels where the blood is flowing. Think about it like traffic on a highway. Everyone's moving, right? Well, around the barriers, if you think about your blood vessel as a cylinder, calcium can build up. And as calcium builds up, it's a slower vessel for the blood to move through. And when calcium builds up too much, there could be blockage, which could connect to a heart attack. So he said, just go get your calcium score. So I called my parents, mom, dad, go get your calcium score. My mom gets it done. Perfect. Couldn't be better. My dad gets it done. My dad works out 6 days a week. The guy's got a six pack. The guy's an animal. His calcium score is off the charts bad. Like literally, the cardiologist can't believe his eyes, how much calcium he has built up. Now, he's gone through AKGs now. He's gone through stress testing. He's done dye placement through his arteries to make sure that the blood is flowing properly. He's doing all the right things. He's on statins. He's meeting with the cardiologist. But thank God he did this at 64 and now he's ahead of it. So I said to myself, man, if dad's is that bad, I'm going to go. Okay. So I go, I get my calcium score done. I work out 4 or 5 times a week. I eat pretty healthy. Body fat is probably less than 5%. Like I'm a healthy guy. I always have been. My calcium score is off the charts. Like what the hell? So now I am on a statin. I meet with a cardiologist. I have to get my calcium score checked out all because of my friend's father giving me a piece of advice. Now, here's the kicker with insurance. I was on a small business policy, or it's in more of like an entrepreneur policy where it has a 5-year term. So my term was coming up. When they found out I had calcium buildup at any level on my score, they kicked me off.
Wow.
Kicked me off. And I fought it. My cardiologist fought it. My cardiologist was like, this is super early. There's nothing to be worried about. This is just early detection. Insurance said, we don't care. They kicked me off. And if it wasn't for Affordable Care Act, I would, and I don't have my, you know, because of, I'm not, it's not that affordable. I'm not getting any discounts or anything because of income and stuff like that. But without Affordable Care Act, I wouldn't have qualified for any insurance. And therefore I would have had zero health insurance because of a test that I did to preventatively identify something in my body. When I went to my doctor, David, and I told him I want a calcium score, he looked at me like I had 8 heads. He goes, dude, you're 35 and healthy. Your blood works perfect. You're not getting a calcium score. I said, order me a calcium score. He's like, fine. And then he saw my results. He almost fell off the chair. Crazy. Crazy how medicine, like, it's not preventative in places we need it to be in certain areas. This is one of them. It was a learning experience.
A couple of things stick out for me. One, 5% body fat. I mean, that's right.
That's what, that's your,
that's,
hey,
it's unbelievable.
You know what?
No.
When you're stressed and fucking a mess, you lose weight, okay? I've lost 13 pounds and I don't have 13 pounds to lose.
All right. So that's just, that's amazing. Second, that's crazy. Yeah.
That reminds me of your comment. So I was at the Heidi Klum Halloween party, and,
yep,
and David and I, like 5 days before, we're crushing pizza, wings, subs. He's like, how is it possible you pulled that off based on what we ate 5 days ago? It's like, that's because I probably haven't eaten since then.
It's ridiculous. It's like, why don't my
stress
look like that? No, I can't believe that in 2024, soon to be 2025, we're not at a place where medical practices, you know, when you go to the airport and you put your hands over your head and they do the thing, how are we not at that where you do something similar and you get a body scan and it shows all your organs and your kidneys and blood
stop.
And it just kind of goes through that and highlights the bad things that are going on.
I got to stop you because in the intro, I talk about this. I actually did the Prenu. I didn't, you don't listen to the intro until the episode comes out. I talked about
privy to that info.
Yeah. I did the Prenuvo scan, okay? Now, this is probably the most life-changing thing I've ever done. $2,500 retail. They put you in a scan for 50 minutes, head to toe. They give you all the information you could possibly imagine about your circulatory system, your respiratory system. They scanned every area of my brain. They gave me my liver, my kidneys, my lymph nodes, my lungs, everything. And then they give you no activity found, minor activity, or moderate. I found out through this scan that there are a couple things, either from some lung infection. I have a lung nodule. It's 0.5 centimeters. I know that I have cysts on both kidneys now, but they're benign. I know that on my lymph node, I also have a cyst. I know that I have 3 areas in my spine that are minor, but I got to watch out for. They do a full scan, every single organ, your prostate, your knees. They saw inflammation in my knees. They give you the x-ray. Craziest thing I've ever done in my life, David. Prenuvo scan. Life change. For my holiday gift for my parents, at the very least, that's where I'm starting. They're both getting their scan.
See, that's also bullshit because I just feel like how many things are there about our health that we're just not told about or that we're not like educated on or that we don't know are available? And it's our health. Our health is the most important thing available. And you say $2,500, like it's like, you know, that's not that much money considering all of the things that we spend on. And it's related to the number one thing that we should all have the education on or at least the peace of mind on. It's kind of bullshit. And you'd think if that was a little more readily available, maybe that's something that, as we talked about in this episode, employers might offer as a benefit or something like that to be able to get that done for their employees once a year. I don't know. I'm just saying.
When I talk to my like friends about this and I like show it, like, or let's say like, so my parents or their parents' friends, and I tell them it was $2,500, they can't believe it. Now, David, let me show you. Like, this is respiratory. So they have like all these things. They have my sinus, my lungs, all this stuff. Look at, I'm going to show you the scan of my lungs they give. and all the information. So here's a scan of my lungs. So David's looking at this right now. You can see, look at the scan of my lungs. It shows the exact nodule. You see that red circle?
Yeah.
And it shows how big it is. And I know if that thing grows at all, at any capacity, I have to keep an eye on it and it would help to immediately come out. It then tells me the recommendations. It tells me the description. It tells me what can cause a lung nodule. And then after you do this thing, I met with a doctor for an hour and they went over everything, A to Z. It's incredible.
It's nuts. That's nuts out there. Look at that. Look at all of this info we're packing in this episode from Johnny and Amy. Just, you know, an all American reality TV. That's like, you know, that's what it's all about these days. They're just doing it and they're doing it right. And they're fabulous. So I loved the episode. I loved hearing about your stories. I love educating myself on some health things. It was great.
David,
it was a great job.
To bring it back to money for just a second before we wrap up, because that's the podcast about, right? How much did they say their health insurance was? I just want to compare it.
Johnny was at $200 a month and she was $344 a month.
Okay. So the plan I have, that's the Affordable Care Act, about $440. So just from perspective. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, go get your calcium score checked, everybody.
Yes.
Check out the Pronuvo scan. I think $2,500, if it could save your life, is worth getting one scan to make sure there's nothing abnormal. And Love is Blind season 7. David. You're the reality TV guy. You're the guy that's supposed to be scrolling social media and knowing all this shit. You got to get back in the game.
Yeah, I might hate watch it. You know, if I hate watch something, I usually crush it pretty good. So I might give a little hate watch and go from there.
All right, I like it.
I might actually like it. Who knows?
I like it. David, there's still one thing we got to do. You're going to look at the reviews and you're going to pick 3 people who gave us reviews in Apple and just list off their usernames. And we have 3 gifts for them. So if you guys are listening to this, we're going to do it again. We have 2 more gifts. We did 3 this week. We'll do 2 next week. Just give us 5 stars. Let us know your biggest takeaway or a guest you want to have on. But David, list off the 3 usernames. And if your username is called, just shoot us an email, tradingsecrets@jasontartick.com. And we will send you your winning prize.
All right, here we go. Great listen from Trading Secret, SECRET is the username. Kind of sneaky in there. Love the positive outlook on life. Just a good all-around good listen. Love the variety of guests. There you go. There's one there.
Yep.
Let's go. Informative and entertaining from Brit P301. I love this podcast because it's so informative. I find finances so intimidating, but I'm learning so much more from just listening. I always get my pop culture fix with some of the guests. LOL, one guest I would love to see on is Perez Hilton. Last one we got is Ali Silve. What a crew, exclamation mark. This group is what dreams are made of. Justin was absolutely right when he said, you all have something special besides being on TV. Follow all of you independently and love to watch how you all continue to grow. Amazing job. There you go. There's 3 influencer closet winners right there.
There you go. Ding, ding, ding. David, I'm glad you called them out. Make sure those 3 people send us an email, tradingsecrets@jasontartick.com. And if you are listening to this podcast, go to Spotify or Apple. Give us 5 stars. We're going to do 2 gifts next week. It's the holiday season, so it's time to give back and give out. If anyone has anything else, David, before we wrap?
Wrap it up.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Trading Secrets, one you couldn't afford to miss. We'll be right back.